I just want to take a moment to thank Rav Taragin Shlita for coming to give a shiur this evening. Rav Taragin schlepped a long way. It's not easy to drive on these country roads at night. We know that well. I certainly know that well. As you know, Rav Taragin is not only an enormous Talmud Chacham and an absolute force of nature, but his Ahavas Yisrael drives him to do so much about thinking of Klal Yisrael, what Klal Yisrael needs, and then not stopping until it's done. And it's something that people like me greatly admire and don't even really, can't really fathom how he manages to do all that he does for his Talmidim, while at the same time keeping an eye on the larger picture of Klal Yisrael. And this is part of that, coming to share Torah with all of us on a late night in the summer. So I thank Rav Taragin very much for coming, and as always, we look forward to your Dvar Torah.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Leibowitz. We want to talk about great leaders of the Jewish people. We don't need look no further. What a great zchut to be able to be here with Rabbi Leibowitz and Yishar Koach for everything he does. And Kadosh Baruch Hu should continue giving him the strength. It's a pleasure to be here. Last summer, unfortunately, unable to visit, but this summer, Baruch Hashem, able to be here and to share some Torah with this great program. And I always say that learning over the summer is a special milah, because it's a way of reinforcing for yourself how important learning is in your life. When you do it not just during the year when you're in a framework, but you choose that framework when most other people are not, it's a great way of expressing and reinforcing for yourselves. And I want to give you all a bracha that you should be able to learn as many summers as possible, and it should be something that strengthens your commitment to Torah and your avas to Torah, which comes from it. I want to share some thoughts tonight in Yonei Parshas HaShavua with a very important lesson that I think comes out of it. If you take a look at Parshas Balak, one of the things you notice is that a central phrase is seeing, is re'iyah. It's the first word of the parsha. Vayar Balak ben Sipor, etc. Not just the first word, but throughout the parsha. And there are different sections. The first section, we have the re'iyah of Balak and the re'iyah of Bilam. And of course, for those familiar with the parsha, Bilam tries a selective view strategy of trying to see negative within the Jewish people, going to different places, seeing from here, seeing from there, hoping to curse. We also have in the parsha the re'iyah of the donkey. And everyone is familiar with the story of how Hashem allows the donkey to see the angel while not Bilam. Eventually God opens the eyes of Bilam, who talks about how the donkey saw where he couldn't see. And obviously the deeper lesson in that was the Navi is someone who Hashem reveals things to when he wants to, because there's some good purpose in it. If Hashem chooses, the donkey will see and the Navi won't see. In essence, the Navi is no greater than the donkey if Hashem doesn't want him to see. Continuing on to page 2, we have the end of the parsha where Bilam now sees the truth. Vayar Bilam ki tov v'yenei Hashem levarech es Yisrael. And then he looks to see the positive in the Jewish people. Vayar es Yisrael shochein l'shvatav v'tihiel av ruach elokim. And again, he starts speaking about the visions he has and what God is showing him. The continuation of the perek before he speaks to each of the nations, Vayaris Amalek, Vayaris Akeni, Re'iyah, Re'iyah, and Re'iyah of different types. And finally, last but obviously not least, we have the selective Re'iyah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Bilam is someone who looks for the negative in the Jewish people, Hashem is someone who looks in the positive of the Jewish people. And of course, that's a huge lesson of Parshas Balak. We learn tremendous amount about Hashem's relationship with us by hearing about how the goyim are unable to bring us down. And Bilam comments, Pasuk of Aleph, Lo hibit oven biyako velo ro amal biyisrael. God is unwilling to see the negative in the Jewish people, unless, of course, the Jewish people insist on Hashem seeing it, which is the irony of the end of the parsha. Bilam can't bring the Jewish people down, but the Jewish people can. Bilam fails to curse the Jewish people, but succeeds with his eitzah of tripping the Jewish people up. In the end, we are not our worst enemy. We are our only enemy when we choose to trip ourselves up. So Parshas Balak is very much about these different types of re'iyah. There's one other parsha in the Torah which begins with the same four-letter word, Vav Yud Resh Aleph. And that is, of course, Parshas Vayera. And it's part of a broader theme in Avram Avinu's life. If you take a look at page 3, it begins with Hashem telling Avram to go to the place he will show him. When Avram is willing to go to the place God shows him, then God appears to him. Later, Pasuk Zayin, Vayera Hashem El Avram. And this theme continues throughout Lech Lecha and Parshas Vayera, after Hashem, Avram shows his great commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Bris Milah. Hashem appears to him. There's a powerful story about one of the later Lubavitcher Rebbeim, Rav Dov Ber, those are a little bit Lubavitch, who when he was a young boy was speaking to the Tzemach Tzedek. These names mean anything to people, one of the older Rebbes in Chabad. And he said to him, he's a young boy, he said, Parshas Vayera, Hashem appears to Avram. How come he never appears to me? And the Tzemach Tzedek said to him wisely, if when you are 99 years old, you'll still be looking for new ways to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem will appear to you too. I don't know if he was banking on, you know, he'll be 99 or whatever, by then he'll realize. But anyway, God appears to Avram and Avram shows his willingness to do what Hashem wants from him. And as we read, continuing on page 3, Avram is not just someone who follows what Hashem says to him, but he's Vayisa Einov. He raises his eyes to have additional re'iyah, to find additional things. If you look at the bottom of page 3, you see both in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, Vayisa Einov Vayar, and in the second part of Parshas Vayera, in the Akedah, Perichal Feis, Pasuk Dalet, Vayom HaShlishi, Vayisa Avram Es Einov Vayar, and he sees the place where the Akedah is taking place. Both of these stages, you have Avram looking beyond. And Chazal understood these words as very, very significant and important. There's a difference between a Jew who does what Hashem tells him and a Jew who looks for what Hashem wants from him beyond what Hashem tells him. And this is a very important idea that I want to develop with everyone when we talk about Re'iyah on page 4. If you saw on page 3, it said Avram was told by Hashem to go to the place that I'll tell you. Look back at the Pasuk on the bottom of page 3 one more time. Pasuk Beis, Perichal Feis, Pasuk Beis. Vayomer kachno es bincho es yechidcha asher ahavta es Yitzchok. Velech lecha l'eretz ha-Moria, the general vicinity. Va'aleu sham le'ola alachad he'harim asher omar elecha. On one of the mountains that I'll tell you. When does Hashem tell Avram which mountain it is? Look in the Pasukim. Asher omar elecha. Where does he tell him which mountain it is? Never. It says, Pasuk Dalet, Vayom HaShlishi, Vayisa Avram es Einov, Vayaris HaMokom Mirachok. How did he know? Page 4. Chazal tells us, Rashi quotes it, Vayaris HaMokom, Ra'a Anon Kosher Alahar. He saw a cloud gathered on the mountain. There's a lot of clouds on a lot of mountains. It doesn't mean you're supposed to sacrifice your son there. In fact, the Medrash Tanchuma gives us the broader story where Avram was, of course, with the Naharim, with Ishmael, etc., and he said to them, do you see? And they said, see what? And he said to Yitzchak, do you see? They said, we only see Midbarios. Yitzchak said, yes, I see. The question is whether you're looking for it, because when we're looking for it, we see. And this is a very, very important, in my opinion, the most important message of the Akedah, and one of the most important messages in the Torah that we see in continuation of page 4. We all know how important the story of the Akedah was, and I'll mention parenthetically, the message of the Akedah is critical in our day today. We live in a world where people do not want to submit, do not want to sacrifice their das to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't want to let God decide for them. We know better. We'll decide. The Akedah is where man shows the willingness to do whatever Hashem wants, even if it seems to me morally reprehensible. And that's why it's not coincidental that many people in the world today, in the Jewish community today, and sadly in the Orthodox community today, are trying to twist the story of the Akedah. Because the Akedah, taken at face value, is not something they're able to swallow. So they try and present the Akedah in other ways. I don't want to mention what they say. I want to mention what Chazal say. We know the Akedah is the model of Yiras Shamayim, as we say it in the morning, before we say the Olam Yehei Adam Yirei Shamayim. It's the model of what Karbanos should be about. It's a critical, climactic expression of the commitment to the will of Hashem. In fact, I want to share with you something powerful Rav Nevinsal says about this. The Piasetzner writes that Hashem Elokeichem Emes means not that God happens to say what's true, but what God believes defines what's true. So Rav Nevinsal says the goal of the Akedah was not that Avram should say, this is terrible, but Hashem said and I respect it. The Akedah was that Avram said, if this is what Hashem wants, this is right. and I don't know any better. The ability to commit one's das to it. In any case, what mitzvah do we have to commemorate the Akedah? There's only one mitzvah in Judaism. Anyone? What mitzvah do we have that commemorates the Akedah? Which one?
Shofar.
Shofar Shalayel, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezayin. But there's an obvious question. How does the shofar commemorate the Akedah? I mean, I just said it. Because the ram had horns. Why do we commemorate the Akedah through the ram? Did Hashem tell Avram to sacrifice the ram? No. If you look at the Pesukim source 3 on page 4, after Hashem, bottom of page 3, said, Yeshakoyach, Teodati Kiri Elokim Ato, Yeshakoyach, that was it. Then it says, Vayisa Avram Ezeinov. It's beautiful that Avram decided to bring a carbon. I have a lot of respect for that. That's what we're commemorating? I have a better idea. This will really bring people into shul. Let's take a kid named Yitzchak, have him run down the aisle. Well, Chassan will take out a lasso, tie him up on the bima, take out a knife, and wait for Hashem to call him off. That would be a more exciting Rosh Hashanah. That would commemorate a kid as Yitzchak. What's with the horn? I think the answer to this question is critical. As I said before, there's two kinds of Avodas Hashem. One is, Hashem says, do you do? You do. And that was the first thing that Avram did. And if you look carefully, we'll read the Pesukim in a second. That's one level. But you know, truth be told, it's not a very relevant message. I'll explain why. How many of us think that Hashem will ever ask us to sacrifice our son? If you think Hashem will ever ask that for you, please speak to Rabbi Leibowitz afterwards. We have to, you know, make sure that you're not dangerous for the Jewish people. Hashem will never ask you to sacrifice your son. Question is, do we look for what Hashem wants for us from us when He's not speaking? After the Akedah, most of us would have been like, let's get out of here before Hashem changes His mind again. Avram was looking for what Hashem wanted from him. Vayisa Avram es Einav Vayar. We commemorate what Avram sacrificed because he looked for it. And of course, Chazal tells us that it was meant to be. It was the aisle that was created in the Sheshes and Meberashes Bein Hashemashos. It was caught in the thicket, which obviously is not coincidental. But just to continue our theme of Re'iyah, Pasuk Yudalit, after Avram sacrifices the aisle, it says that Avram called the place Hashem Yireh. Hashem has shown me and will show us Asher Yemer Hayom Bahar Hashem Yireh. If you look back at page 3 one more time, the word Yireh, Yireh, is a critical word in the Akedah. You can go back to Pasuk Ches for a second. Yitzchak said in Pasuk Zayin to Avram, I see the fire, I see the knife, where is the sheep? And Avram answered in Pasuk Ches, Vayomer Avram Elokim Yireh Lo Haseh Li'ol Bani. God will show us. And we'll do whatever He shows us. And that's the meaning of the last pasuk on page 3, when Hashem, the Malach, says to Avram, "Atishach yadcha l'arav al tas l'muma, ki ato yadati ki yirei Elokim ato." Avram showed that he was someone who feared God, that he had awe for God. Yirei Elokim in this pasuk means a person who follows whatever Hashem shows him, whatever the directions are. Anyone here is a yeka? Any chance? At a yeka shechupa, we say Tehillim Kuf Yud Aleph, right? Ashrei kol yirei Hashem haholech bedrachov. The yirei Hashem means you follow what Hashem shows you. But Avram was more than that. As we saw on page 4, he looked to find additional things. He called the place Hashem Yireh, Hashem has shown me. Asher ye'amer hayom bahar Hashem ye'roeh in the future. Rashi tells us on the pasuk that this will be the place where Hashem will reveal His Shekhinah and where we'll bring korbanos in the future. Not coincidentally, the model for all korbanos is Akedas Yitzchak, and the aisle brought in his place. Because the model of Akedas Yitzchak shows us that we bring korbanos not because we have a pagan urge, but because Hashem asks for it. And that's why the korbanos we bring are exactly what Hashem tells us, and that's why He gives us all the details, to make sure that it's Avodas Hashem. And that's why if somebody has their own idea of what they're going to bring, that's a terrible thing. Who was that? Nadav and Avihu. I'll just mention parenthetically, one of the Mesechtas in Shas, Avodah Zarah, right? Idol worship. Where does the Torah refer to idol worship as Avodah Zarah? Never. Torah mentions the Isser of Avodah Zarah tens of times, never calls it Avodah Zarah. The word Zarah appears in relation to Avodah only once in the Torah, actually three times, but one context. Eish Zarah, Adnanav and Avihu Asher Lo Tivo Osam Hashem. When you serve Hashem the way you want and not the way Hashem wants, it's Avodah Zarah. Doesn't matter that you're not serving another God. You're not serving God. That's why, and this is a deeper issue, Rav Elchanan Wasserman said that Zionism is Avodah Zarah. He said religious Zionism is serving Hashem and Avodah Zarah. Because if a person believes in something not because it comes from Hashem, but because they believe in it independently, that's Avodah Zarah. A person who believes in their religion and has a separate word called Zionism, so that's Avodah Hashem and Avodah Zarah. Obviously, if a person is a Zionist, you have an Israeli flag in Camp Keli, because they see it as part of Avodah Hashem, that's okay. But if it's a separate word, that's Avodah Zarah. Anyway, getting back to the point, this, of course, becomes the basis of the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel three times a year, which is called Shalosh Pamim Bashana Yeiro'eh Kol Zichurcha, the Yireh of Avraham, the Re'iyah that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvah is called by Chazal Re'iyah, the mitzvah of Re'iyah based on the Torah. Well, who's seeing whom? Powerful Gemara in Chagiga Dav Dalet Amid Beis, three sources on the bottom of page 4, says Rav Yochanan ben Da'avai, in the name of Rav Yehuda, a blind person, even in one of his eyes, is pater from the mitzvah of Re'iyah. Because it says, Yira Yeira'ah, to see and be seen. Kederech Shabaliros, Kach Baliros. We're seen by Hashem, and we're coming to see Hashem. Rashi says, this is built off the Yira Yeira'ah. The Torah Tmimah explains beautifully, if you look back at the first sources in number 3 here, the Pasuk in Parashas Mishpatim says, Shalosh Pamim Bashana, Yeira'ah Kol Zechurcha El Pnei Adon Hashem, you're seen by Hashem. In Perek Lamadal, it says, Shalosh Pamim Bashana, Yeira'ah Kol Zechurcha Es Pnei Adon Hashem. You're being seen by God, and you're seeing God. Kli Yakar, beautifully on page 5, explains that this all begins with the Yireh Yeirah of Avraham Avinu by the Akedah, the special power of Re'iyah. And just to complete this idea, Gemara in Yom Adaf Mendalit says, when there used to be a little regal, they would roll back the parochas and show the Kruvim embracing each other and say, Re'u chibaschem lefnei amakom. Not just something you'll hear about, something you're meant to see. When we look to see God properly, when we look to follow what he wants from us, we're able to see God on some level, whatever that means. And just to complete this theme, if you go back to page 3 again, the beginning of Parshas Vayera, where it said, Vayisa Avram es Eina, Vayar v'ine shlosha anashim. Let's remember what was going on here. Avram has an audience with Hashem. And not only that, the Pasuk, look back at page 3, says what the temperature was. How often does the Torah tell you what the temperature was? Very rarely. It says, "Vayera lev Hashem, v'hu yoshev pesach ha'ohel kichom hayom." It was hot. Rashi learns from that bottom of page 5. Hashem made it special hot. Why? He didn't want Avram to have guests. Avram was recuperating. Right? Why should he have guests? What's Avram doing? Saying, "Oh, it's so hot. It's a simon from Hashem. I'm not meant to have guests." It would have been right. Says Rashi, Chazal. It emphasizes that he's sitting at the opening of his tent outside. Why? Looking for guests. Lefisharaahu mitztayer shelo yuorchim. Avram's mitztayer was not that he had a bris milah. His mitztayer was he couldn't serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why did Hashem send the angels in the form of men to eat Avram's food? He couldn't have sent angels. Because Avram was mitztayer that he couldn't have guests. And Hashem had to satisfy his need for guests. So you see, this Re'iyah of Avram is not just looking for what Hashem is showing him, but even for opportunities beyond what he's been told. So if we put this all together, you have the Re'iyah in Parshas Vayar Balak, and you have the Re'iyah in the Parshas of Avram, Vayere Elav Hashem. And of course, page 6, I'm not the first to point this out. The Mishnah in Avos, when it talks about the key midos in life of Yochanan ben Zakkai, said to his Talmidim, what is the Derech Yeshara that people should stick to? First Talmud, Rebbe Eliezer says, Ayin Tova. The others give other explanations, Chaver Tov, Shachin Tov, all important. And then, at the end of the conclusion here, we talk about the relationship between Ayin Tova and Lev Tov, because Rebbe Lazar, Lazar ben Aruch, he said, Lev Tov, Ayin Tov is connected to Lev Tov. We'll get back to that in a few minutes. Later on in Perek Hey, the Mishnah says, anyone who has these three things is the Talmud of Avram. Three other things is the Talmud of Bilam. And the first of the three is the Ayin Tova. Person who looks for the negative, that's the Talmud of Bilam. It's a scary thing when we think about the way we're used to living, the society we live in. A person who looks for the positive, for what Hashem wants, for the directions Hashem wants, that's the first midah of the Talmud of Avram Avinu. And I want to help us appreciate this a little bit more by speaking about two psukim that I imagine we're familiar with, but maybe not appreciative enough of. We're familiar, the psukim, Mi Aisha Chavetz Chaim, Oiv Yamin Liros Tov, Nitzor Lishon Chameiros Vasecha Midaber Mirma. How many of you have heard of these psukim before? What are they about? The average person will say, the Yisra of Lashon Hara. Well, they're not about the Yisra of Lashon Hara, they're in Sefer Tehillim. They're about something much deeper. In fact, the Chavetz Chaim writes in one of his less known books that this pasuk, Mi Aisha Chavetz Chaim, is the best skula of all the skulos of people looking for Hatzlacha. Not the second pasuk, which talks about Netzor Lashon Chmeira, the pasuk of Mi Aisha Chavetz Chaim. That's where it starts. What is the pasuk about? Well, the pasuk asks the question, who desires life? Who wants life? Now, I don't think life depends on Lashon Hara. You know, you get Onish Misa for Lashon Hara. But a good life, a desirable life. The answer given in this pasuk is Oev Yomim. A good life is a life where you love every day. Let's think about that for a second. What would life be like if we loved every day of it? How do you love every day of life? Mi Aisha Chafetz Chaim, Oev Yomim, Liros Tov. If a person wakes up in the morning, they see all the good in their siblings and all the good in their parents and all the good in the block and the school and the shul and the community and the camp. You see all the good. You're going to love the day you're living because you're surrounded by so much good. Let's say a person wakes up in the morning and they see all the bad in the aforementioned. It might be accurate. Maybe they grew up in New York and they listen to the radio and everyone talks about the bad all day. And so they've been trained to have an eagle eye for the bad. That might be accurate. What kind of day are they going to have? A day where you're surrounded by only bad people and bad things? I wouldn't like such a day. The advice of Sefer Tehillim is, stop yourself from harping on the bad. Because if you speak only about the bad, you won't be able to see the good, and you won't be able to love the days of your life. And of course, this is along the lines of the famous idea of the Sefer Achinuch. We're all familiar with it, that a person is impacted by what they choose to talk about, by their actions, by their thoughts. And I want to speak about three levels in which this ri'iya expresses itself. The first is how we look at the world. Everybody knows that in Dvarim Perek Chavav we have the mitzvah of Bikurim. One of the unique aspects of the mitzvah of Bikurim is that when you bring it, you have to give a speech. You have to talk about why you're bringing it. Today, when we do mitzvahs, we say the Shem Yichud, we say all kinds of parshiyos, but there's very few mitzvahs in the Torah where the Torah says, when you do the mitzvah, you have to give this speech. And of course, we're familiar with the speech from Pesach night when we use it. But in any case, when you get to the Kohen initially, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Gimel, bottom of page 6, it says, you say to him, Higadati Hayom LaHashem Elokecha, I've said to Hashem, Ki Vasi Ela Aretz Asher Nishba Hashem LaAvoteinu LaAseh Islam. I said to the Kohen, I said to Hashem, that I've arrived here in the land that Hashem has given me. And later on it says, V'samachta b'chalatov, Hashem asan lecha Hashem elokecha. You have to speak about yourself as being someone who recognizes what you've received, what you have in the world. Rashi says very powerfully, V'amarte elav, on this pasuk, She'encha kafoy tov. Rav Volba, the great Mashgiach, said, you see from here, that kfiyas tov is not just a question of what you feel on the inside. It's a question of what you express on the outside. It's important for people to verbalize their appreciation of what they receive in their lives. And that's why we say, Tov lehodos Lashem. Not it's a mitzvah, not it's a chiyuv, it's good. Because when a person appreciates what they have in their lives, they appreciate that they're cared for. They appreciate that they live in a wonderful world. If you look, continuing the same parasha of Bikurim, we all know that the tochacha, the klalos, appear there. And we're told in the Klalos that things get so desperate that people look negatively at their own brothers. People won't share with each other. And this is part of the explanation of the Galus where it says, bottom of page 6, Tachas asher lo avadata as Hashem elokecha b'simcho v'tuv lev of meirov kol. Since you didn't serve Hashem out of happiness and goodness of heart when you had everything, God takes it away in order for you to appreciate it. I want to share on page 7 a few more ideas that connect to seeing the good and appreciating what we have in our world around us. They tell a story, the name of the Baal Shem Tov, that one day the Baal Shem Tov was walking in town and he bumped into the water carrier. Water carrier was a difficult job. Every day had to schlep water up and down from the river. And the Baal Shem Tov said to him, how are you feeling? And the water carrier said, life is very difficult. I'm very old, and I still have to work so hard to support myself. I have no children to help me. And my wife, she's very sick for many years. And we have daughters who can't find a shidduch. And so my life is very difficult. The Baal Shem Tov did his best to strengthen him and wished him a good day. The next day, the story is here in Hebrew on top of page 7, he meets the water carrier again. And he says to the water carrier, how are you? And the water carrier said, Baruch Hashem, though I'm very old, I'm still alive and breathing. And I get to daven and put on tefillin and learn Torah every day. Most of my friends, they're already gone. He said, you know, my wife isn't of perfect health, but thank God I'm not alone. And Hashem keeps her in my life. And so I have someone to provide for me and be my close friend. And he goes, and I want to tell you the best part of my life. I have daughters who are so wonderful that no one's good enough for them. It's, of course, all a matter of perspective. The Lubavitcher Rebbe had a Talmud in Yerushalayim who wrote him the following letter. He said, Rebbe, my life is very difficult. Married with 10 children, and I have no parnasa. I'm constantly looking for money. I have ways to make money. Help me. The Rebbe wrote back the following letter. Mazel tov, you are married. I'm so happy to hear. Not everyone has found their bashert. And wow, you're so lucky. You have 10 children. You should know, not everybody has children. Bavitcher Rebbe had no children. He said, and thirdly, what great schus you have to live in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh. I'm jealous of you. And then he signed Menachem Mendel Schneerson. And then he wrote, P.S. The fact that you don't appreciate and show appreciation for everything God has given you is the reason why he's not giving you more. The recognition and expression of appreciation of Hashem is the opposite of Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara is when we focus on the bad. Appreciation Hashem is when we focus on the good. You see in the Magen Avraham, when he talks about the Sheish Zechiros, right, you see Yitzhak Mitzrayim and Mamad Har Sinai, he says, Lehodot lecho hapeh, lo nivra rak lehodos, velo ledaber Lashon Hara. We can use our mouth for one of two things, to express appreciation or to harp on the negative. Just to finish this point, I want to mention a couple more points, both worthwhile. Everyone knows the Mishnah and Brachos and the Gemara that elaborates on it. Chayavadim levarach al ha'ra kishem shevarach al ha'tova. The Magid Mim is rich. Had a chassid who came to him and said, how can a person give thanks for the bad the same way we give thanks for the good? It's not possible. The Maggid sent him to Rav Zusha, the famous Rav Zusha. Now, most people know Rav Zusha from the story about when you get to Shemayim, they're not going to ask you why you weren't Moshe Rabbeinu. They'll ask you why you weren't Rav Zusha. They still say that? No? Okay. But Rav Zusha, for those who don't know, lived a very difficult life. His children all died. He had no parnas. It was very difficult for him. So the Chassid knew right away why the Rebbe had sent him to ask Rav Zusha. So he came to Rav Zusha and he says, look, I asked the Maggid, how can you give bracha al arah kishem shevarach al atova? It's not possible. He told me I should ask you. What do you say? Rav Zusha's response was, why would he send you to me? Nothing bad has ever happened to me. It's a matter of perspective, and even if we're not on that level, we should be on some level. Let's conclude this part about seeing good in what's happening to us in the world with a poem on page 8. This poem was written by a high school girl in Brooklyn, and won an award of Reader's Digest, you know, poem of the year. You guys ready? Okay. Today was the absolute worst day ever. And don't try to convince me that there's something good in every day, because when you take a closer look, the world is a pretty evil place. Even if some goodness does shine through once in a while, satisfaction and happiness don't last. And it's not true that it's all in the mind and heart, because true happiness can be attained only if one's surroundings are good. It's not true that good exists. I'm sure you can agree that the reality creates my attitude. It's all beyond my control, and you'll never in a million years hear me say today was a very good day. High school? Sounds like a high school kid? You guys remember what that's like? Why am I sharing this poem with you? Let's read it now from the last line up. You ready? Today was a very good day, and you'll never in a million years hear me say it's all beyond my control. My attitude creates the reality. I'm sure that you can agree that it's not true that good exists only if one's surroundings are good. True happiness can be attained because it's all in the mind and heart. And it's not true that satisfaction and happiness don't last. Some goodness does shine through once in a while. even if the world is a pretty evil place. Because when you take a closer look, there's something good in every day. And don't try to convince me that today was the absolute worst day ever. It's all a matter of perspective, right? Cook, in fact, writes powerfully that the goodwill that naturally resides constantly within the neshama, mahapichu es kol ha'chayim v'hametzias latova. It's not just how we perceive things. How we choose to see things impacts the reality around us. I didn't have this in the Makor sheet. There are Makor that I didn't include on the sheet. But there's a very famous story with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe was Nachum Ish Gamzu. Everyone knows, right? Gamzu Latova. But Rabbi Akiva went further. What was Rabbi Akiva's statement? Anyone knows? He used to say, Kol Ma Da'ovid Rachmana Latov Ovid, right? There's a story, he had a donkey and a candle and a rooster, and he had no place to stay in town, so he slept out of town, and the candle went out, and the donkey died, and the rooster, and it turns out an army came and killed all the people, and had the light been, they would have seen him, right? And then he told someone, didn't I always tell you, you have to say, Kol Ma'ad Ovid Rachman Latav Ovid? The Ben Yehoyada asked there, what do you mean you have to say it? And he explains, it's not just enough to believe it. When a person says it, they determine that that's the reality. And they turn, like Rav Kook says, the reality of the Tov. How we look at things, it's not just how we look at the world, it's also how we look at other people. If you take a look at page 9, I want to share with you the piece of Rav Nachman Mibreslov that he said was the most important piece he wrote. Okay, and it's become pretty famous. It's based on the Mishnah in Avos, which says that we should be done as kol adam lekaf schus. I believe a basic question about this Mishnah that I think was bothering Rav Nachman was, why does it say judge people favorably? It should say, don't judge people. There's another Mishnah like that. Al tadunis chavercha. Achtegelem komo. Don't judge him. You'll never be in his shoes, so don't judge him. What do you mean, judge him favorably? So Rav Nachman says it's important to judge people. But it's important to judge them favorably. And even someone who's a Rasha, you have to find that goodness in. The little bit that's not bad. And through that, see the person as good. And when you see the person as good, it can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we decide to see people as bad, then they'll try and live down to that. If we see them as good, they'll try and live up to it. But think about it, you know, if there's a class clown, joker, not serious. Everyone knows he's not serious, so he has to be not serious. But if a person is seen as good by their parents and their friends, everyone sees you as good, you try and live up to that. We can impact other people by focusing on the good within them. And the famous tefillah of Rav Elimelech Milozhinsk, who says, save us from the natural jealousy we feel about each other. Adarabba, tain b'libeinu shenira kol echad ma'alas chavarinu v'loch esrona. Let us see the ma'alas in each other and not what's missing. It's all a question of what we choose to focus on. Those who are haughty focus only on the good in themselves and only the negative in others. Those with low self-esteem focus only on the good in others and the negative about themselves. We should see the good in others and the good in ourselves. And Rav Elimelech continues and says, this is the basis of a strong relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu if you think everything He created is negative. How else do you know Hashem if not through His creation? When you see the goodness in what Hashem creates, you can have a close relationship with Hashem. The root of all this, of course, as we saw earlier in the Mishnah in Avos, Bechlal Dvar of Divrechem is in the heart, is in the Machshava. The Baal HaTanya writes, he addresses us as Ahuvai Yididai. Na v'na. Please, please. The Truach b'cholei v'nefesh letkoa avas v'yehu b'libo. To put the love of each other in our hearts. Not to think about each other negatively, because that's, of course, where it begins. And this is the point, famous point of Rav Kook, that we're about to enter a period where we're mourning about the Churban that was generated through Sinas Chinam. For those who've never thought about it, there are two periods in the Jewish year where we mourn. The 3 weeks and Sfira. And both of them are because of deaths of Churbanos that were caused by people's inability to get on with each other. Neither of them are Avodas Hashem. It's both Avodas Hashem, but it's all about Avodas Hashem through how we relate to one another. How we relate to the rest of the Jewish people and how we relate to those closest to us. Shemonagu covered Zebazen. Rav Kook writes, if that's why it was destroyed, Neshuv Lehibanot will be rebuilt, and the world with us will be rebuilt. Al Yidei Ahavas Chinam. And of course, Sina begins with the Shvatim. Yosef would speak badly about them to the father, to the point where it says, Pasuk Dalet, Vayisnu also, they hated him. Velo yochlu davro l'shalom. They were unable to speak to him in a peaceful way. It's not coincidental that when Yaakov sends Yosef to the brothers, he says, Lechna re'e et shlom achecha. Go see the shalom of your brothers. It's Tiferes Shlomo, the Rebbe Miradomsk writes, the remez in this was, how careful we have to be to see the ma'ala in each other. Mi'a isha chafetz chayim, he quotes the pasuk. Because when a person is used to speaking about the negative in other people, it generates a culture of hatred, of mutual hatred and distance. And Yaakov was trying to get Yosef to transcend this, which is eventually what he did when he went down to Mitzrayim. I want to conclude now on page 10 by speaking about the root of all this. How we see the world, how we see each other, really begins with how we see ourselves. Rav Nachman Mibresov, at the end of that piece, I quote the last two lines here at the top of page 10, he says, so too we have to see in ourselves the good. Ki ze yadua shetzarech ha'adam li zar ma'od lios b'simcha tamid. Everyone knows that. And where does it start? L'harchei ka'atzvus ma'od ma'od. It starts with how we see ourselves. And I want to show you something that may surprise you. Everyone asks what the root of the Chedah Meraglim was. Did they believe that Hashem couldn't conquer the Malachim in Eretz Yisrael? Of course not. They saw all these great Nisim. What were they thinking? So there's a lot of very famous explanations that are trying to deal with this problem. They wanted to stay in the desert where there was miracles. They didn't want to work. All these kind of things. And of course those explanations are all true. But I want to show you another explanation which comes from the Torah itself in Parshas Devarim. For those who don't know, or don't remember, Moshe tells over the story of the Meraglim there. Parshas Devarim always read the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, which of course began with the Chedah Meraglim. And Moshe tells them and us in Pasuk of Zayin what they were saying that night. Vateirognu ba'alechem, you were crying in your tents, vatomru, besinas Hashem otanu hotzianu me'eretz Mitzrayim, latet otanu biyada amori la'ashmidenu. God hates us. And that's why he took us out of Mitzrayim, to deliver us into the hands of the Amori who will wipe us out. Why would God hate them? Sforno says, because we serve the Avodah Zarah in Mitzrayim, and he continues, because clearly God has the koach. It's just that he hates us. How could the Jews think that God hated them? He had done so much for them. Rashi says very powerfully, Madebelibach al Rachmach, Madebelibe Aloch. Sometimes we attribute to other people what we feel towards them. When we're uncomfortable with Hashem, we assume he doesn't like us either. And of course, we're familiar with this from the Pesukim in Parsha Shlach themselves about this low self-esteem, the famous idea developed by the Sfas Emes. We were in our own eyes, and therefore they saw us this way. I think there's a powerful remez in the words of Yeshua and Kalev when they finally together stand up against the Meraglim. They say, the land is beautiful. The heavy we can do it. I think what they're responding to is this claim. If God really hated us, why didn't he just take us to a dark alley and wipe us out there? Why did he bring us to such a beautiful land? When you see how beautiful everything is around you, you realize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you, and you have faith. But if you lack faith in yourself, you lack faith in Hashem's value of you, then you end up seeing all the good around you as bad. You see how when you see yourself in this way, it causes you to see the land and the world around you badly and other people badly and everything badly? It's a choice. Either we see the good in ourselves and the good in everyone else, or we see the bad in them, which influences how we see ourselves, etc. To conclude, told us Yaakov Yosef, one of the great Talmidim of the Besht, said that the Besht had a Aliyah L'Shamayim, and in Shamayim they told him that the reason Mashiach is delayed is because people don't say the bracha of Ava Rabba with enough kavana for a long enough amount of time. You might say this is Chassidish Torah. So I have here the Sefer of the Torah Tamima, the nephew of the Netziv, who said that the Netziv would not give shir on a day when he didn't cry in the saying of Ava Rabba. Why is the bracha so important? For Chassidim and Litvaks, Shema Yisrael includes not only the tzivui to believe in Hashem, it includes the tzivui to love Hashem. How can Hashem expect us to love Him? That's a very high thing to do, to really not just believe in Hashem, but love Hashem. The bracha of Ava Rabba is the answer. If you want someone to express how they feel towards you, you tell them how you feel towards them. And in the bracha before Shema Yisrael, we talk about how much Hashem feels and loves us. Avarabba Avtanu. You give us the Torah, Bi'ahava. Everything is Bi'ahava. And we know that you choose us, Bi'ahava. This bracha is an important bracha. Because in order for us to believe in Hashem and believe in what's coming and truly invest in everything we're meant to invest in, we have to realize how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us and how worthy we are for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love. What you do, it helps you see not only yourself that way, but the world around you right, the people around you right. The difference between Bilam and Avram and their Talmidim begins with the Ayin Tova. People who look to see the negative so they can focus on it and curse, and people who look to see what Hashem wants them to see, which is the good that He gives us, which is the good in people around us, which is the good inside ourselves. And this brings the Geula. Hashem chooses to focus on the good in us. Lo hibid avin b'yakov v'lara amr b'Yisrael. And we should imitate that. V'alachta b'drachav. Seeing the good in ourselves and the good in others. And this is the tikkun that needs to take place over the next weeks, over the next month, where we think about how we can rebuild ourselves and the world to work on this midah, which is so hard. Not just of the Ayin Tov, but the Lev Tov, which is the root of the Ayin Tov. To feel positive thoughts, to look for positive things. And may this indeed bring the geula that the bracha of Avarabba can bring when we're able to have the right kavanas for it. Mm-hmm.